The following sermon was delivered to the New Covenant Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Selma, Alabama.
Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians 1. Here for another few weeks, we're going to keep thinking on the Apostle Paul, God's ministry in Christ to him and through him. I'm going to read Galatians 1, 11 to 24. The sermon, though, will be more from 11 and 12 and 15 and 16, as we're going to be thinking about Paul's call to be a missionary, what that meant for him, and perhaps what it means for us. Now, Galatians was one of his early letters, a letter written to both defend his ministry and proclaim the gospel, which was being undermined. I'm going to read Galatians 1, 11 through 24. For I would have you know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that is Peter, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do pray that the words of my mouth, and I pray that the meditation in each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In July of 1923, in a track meet, a regional track meet, prior to the 1924 Olympics, this meet was between England and Scotland and Ireland, Eric Little, who would become famous, you would remember him for the movie Chariots of Fire and for his decision to change races so as to not run on the Lord's Day in a heat in the race in 1924. But back in 1923 in July, in a race run over a quarter of a mile, it was seen just what kind of runner and what kind of person Eric Little would turn out to be. At the first bend in this race, he tripped over the legs of English runner J.J. Gillies. And this is, you can see this, wonderfully portrayed in Chariots of Fire. He tripped over this runner and fell off the track. By the time he got up, they were all moving so fast, the very last runner ahead of him was still a full 30 yards in front of him. But he gets up and he ran so fast and attacked that race so fast from there that he finally overtook even Gillies 3 yards from the line and he won. And then he collapsed to the ground, the winner. He would later say that, this is a paraphrase, because he would sprint off the blocks in these longer runs and he would say, I run as fast as I can. And then I run harder. But the reason he could run like this, well, let me ask, how could he do that? Well, he knew who he was running for. in the movie, they say, they put on his lips, again, a sense of his true nature. I run because I'm fast. And when I run because he made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. He knew who he was running for. And so at the time, he could run faster than anyone. So it was with Paul. And he uses this same image of a race later on. He knew who he was running for. Jesus. Jesus Christ. When you know who you're running for, it makes all the difference in getting across the finish line. In Paul's calling as a missionary, as we focus on those ideas that I think are here in his letter to the Galatians, we're going to focus on three things and how it was such a crucial part of Paul's life. First, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, the grace of Jesus Christ. And third, the glory of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I would have you know, he writes, that the gospel, again, that at that time in the context of what it was being undermined, it was not man's gospel. I didn't receive this gospel from any man. I received it from Jesus Christ through a revelation. Now, as is always the case when we're dealing with, I mean, even with Jesus himself, but also with his apostles, there were unique things happening at this time in the history of redemption that will not be repeated. But there are also many ways in which we can apply these things to ourselves. You have to keep that separate. He did meet Jesus on the road to Damascus. We looked at that a few weeks ago, and we'll continue to review that because it meant so much in Paul's life. But his gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its origin is in heaven itself. That's why we can believe it, share it, and even preach it with confidence, without fear. The gospel was manifested in the coming of Jesus, which the gospels recount, and then in his life, death, resurrection, his ascension, Jesus is the content of the gospel, the one that all the prophets were waiting for and were preaching about in the Old Testament, waiting for him to come, the Redeemer, who actually would obey the law where Adam and all God's people after him and all human beings after him had failed. And so this disclosure, this revelation of Jesus to Paul, even that revelation itself was in a sense an anticipation of the revelation we'll all receive of him finally and fully. But in the meantime, it gives us the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Paul would later write that this gospel, that everything he was doing, preaching, teaching, living, was from him and to him and through him. Remember, how can we run as fast as we can and cross the finish line when we know who we're running for? He knew who he was running for, for Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul would later say, again in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, here's the gospel in a nutshell. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and then he appeared to 500 others and then even to me. The gospel is through him. The gospel is Jesus. He did come. He died for our sins and he rose for our justification. Simple as that in a nutshell. It's through him. It's also from him. Keeping it simple, just some of the these are just some of the basic elements of the gospel that never change. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. Not in Buddha, not in Muhammad, not in the New Age, not in money, not in fame, not in accomplishments. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men and women by which we must be saved. It's from him alone, Jesus. That's the name. We've been singing about it all morning. It's through him and from him, and it's to him. It's to him. Jesus was found in human form. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God has highly exalted him. This is in Philippians 2. God's highly exalted him. He's bestowed on him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's the gospel of Jesus. You get that in your heart. God works that into your heart, works it into your thinking, in your mind. It changes everything. But in Paul's calling as a believer and an apostle and a missionary in particular we're thinking of today, it was the grace of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, when he who had set me apart before I was born. Now, y'all know the story? He's saying, I was set apart before I was born, and yet in God's remarkable providence of how he works, before he called him, Paul lived as a Pharisee, a zealous Pharisee, even to the point of persecuting the church, overseeing the very stoning of God's faithful people. Yet, in God's wise and holy and mysterious will, that was part of Paul's life, leading him to see how remarkable God's grace is. And he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace. There's different ways we describe grace. God's unmerited favor, giving us something we don't deserve. Or as that acronym puts it, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, amazing grace. He called me by his grace. Verse 6, let's stick with 15 for this point. God's grace. He set me apart before I was born. He called me by his grace. Obviously, it's God's grace. A former persecutor is now a believer, a preacher, a missionary, an apostle. If that's not God's grace, then what is God's grace? It's God's sovereign work. He uses a phrase. that's actually in 16. He was pleased. That's when it says God's pleased, he's saying his sovereign pleasure. So this grace comes through God's sovereign pleasure to set him apart. Now, I think this actually, I think we kind of chuckle sometimes when it happens in our day because we can see how raw someone can be in those days. But in Paul's case, his calling as a believer and his commissioning as a preacher came the same moment. And we've seen this happen in young people who they're saved and they just start preaching right away. Now, they're kind of raw, right? They're still learning the Bible. They're still figuring it all out. But if you've seen one of these, folks in your life, we can't deny it. And sometimes it's just like Paul, isn't it? It's the worst sinner we knew is saved. And the next thing you know, they're preaching. It's remarkable. So it was with Paul. He really doesn't separate his conversion to Christ and his calling. They really happened together because that was God's grace. Now, he uses language from the prophets that has been very inspiring to me as I've studied this. He uses words from both Jeremiah and Isaiah. Again, in verse 15, he who set me apart before I was born. Back in Jeremiah 1:5, Jeremiah, who became known as the weeping prophet, because he suffered as he preached God's word in such opposition. when he's talking about his calling in Jeremiah 1:5, he said, the word came to him and it said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Paul is likening himself to this. You know, as he's defending his apostleship and proclaiming the gospel. He's saying, God set me apart just like the prophets. And in his holy accounts, he did it in eternity past. This is God's grace. He also, similar language is in Isaiah, in these wonderful passages that are actually talking about the servant of the Lord who we would see was in its most full fulfillment was Christ. In Isaiah 49:1, listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. Again, in verse 5, and now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel may be gathered to him. I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord. God has become my strength. Only God's grace could consecrate someone from the womb to be his child, to be his servant, to be his preacher, to be his apostle. Paul's call to Christ, his call to preach, were by grace. Of course, how else could it be? But it's not different with us. Your call to be a child of God, your invitation to be a part of his family, and to be here even this morning gathering with his family to worship him is by God's grace too. Do you remember that? It's good to remember it. Our confession tells us about this. In chapter 10, section 1. It kind of applies this to us. All those whom God hath predestined unto life, he is pleased and has appointed an accepted time effectually to call by his word and spirit out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature, and to call them to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. That's what he does for you. He calls you by Jesus from death to life, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone, and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good, giving you a new appetite for goodness, for Jesus, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet so, as they come most freely, being made willing, how? By his grace. We're all saved by grace. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. Have you received the grace of Jesus Christ? Does that grace put wind in your sails? Does that grace, going back to the running metaphor, give you the energy and strength to run? It's meant to. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ and the grace of Jesus Christ. But part of that grace of Jesus was that, in his case, Paul saw the risen Christ. He saw him, the glorified Christ. And so our last point is the glory of Jesus Christ. This is in 16. He was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now, Paul saw him. Paul saw the glorified Christ on the Damascus Road. and it changed everything. He saw the glory of Jesus Christ, and that glory that he saw then was so etched upon him, so filled his heart, that everything he did from that day after was about him. There's a radio program hosted by Charles Morris. It's called Haven Today. And he says, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's actually really refreshing to hear him. It's all about Jesus. The glory of Christ. We don't see him literally in his glory like Paul did, but we do see him by faith. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't see him literally, but we do see him by faith. Do you, has this remarkable thing happened to you? Are you more and more, is God's light shining out of darkness in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? That's God's desire for us. That was even Paul's desire to all those whom he ministered to, that we might, by faith, share in that. The glory of Jesus. But the final thing I want us to think about that I hope you'll find encouraging for yourself was he said, he revealed his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I said earlier, just a few moments ago, that his call was similar to that of the servant of the Lord who was set apart from the womb. Here's what the Lord said about that servant, though, as I continue in Isaiah 49, now verse 6. He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel," or to just do that. You're not only going to do that, bring Israel back to me, but I'm going to make you a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. What does it say that he was called to do? He was saved. He says, "Look, Jesus let me get a glimpse of him so that I might preach the glory of Christ, the grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles." When God called Abraham, he said, "I'll be a blessing. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to the nations." Christ has come, the Savior of sinners, to save those of every nation, tribe, tongue, and people group, and that includes us. Paul's calling benefits us, as we're the Gentiles, we're those who benefit from his ministry. "To me," Paul says, "though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And so Paul in his life, as his calling as a missionary, in a very profound way, he does give us an example how to imitate Christ. Paul would suffer, and we'll see this in a few weeks, the remarkable nature of his suffering. He would suffer daily from then on throughout his life, that the gospel of Christ, our first point, may go forth, that the grace of Christ might be shared, that the glory of Christ would be made known even to people like me, and to people like you. In his call as a missionary, the old promises were being kept and fulfilled. What does this mean for you? Are you living in a relationship with God through the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ? This gospel, this grace, this glory are for you and for me. God planned it that way all along. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, I do pray that for us, it would be all about Jesus. Write the good news, that is the gospel, the good news, write it on our hearts. Give us that sense of your grace. And may we glorify you and enjoy you forever. We pray in Jesus' name.